Jesus, we're just so excited today to be in your presence. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. We thank you, Father, just for your love for the children here today and the babies. Thank you that you're excited about them so we can be excited about them. Thank you for families here today, Lord, and just the blessing of families. Thank you, Father, as you say, when we get to know you, that we are adopted into your family. Thank you this morning that we can have such a picture of that. So we have natural families here. We have spiritual family here. Thank you this morning that we can be in your house, Lord. Pray this morning for everyone who's not in your house, God. People who don't have a natural family. People who don't have a spiritual family. We thank you that you're a father. And this morning your heart is that all your children would be in a house. Father, it's your heart that people would be connected naturally, spiritually. We trust for that this morning as we have that privilege. We trust that it would be extended this morning beyond our borders, Lord. We're so grateful, Lord, and we love being in your house. We love your presence. We worship you this morning. We thank you that you come to speak to us specifically this morning. Lord, we give each heart to you, and if you agree with me, then you can just in your mind say this to the Lord. I give my heart to you this morning, Lord. Thank you that there's not one message this morning, but thank you, Holy Spirit, that you want to speak to each one of us. That there's specific things you want to show each one of us this morning. So we choose this morning to hear you, Lord, to hear what you're saying, and we give our hearts to you. We say this morning we trust you with our hearts, Lord, and we trust that the work that you want to do in our hearts. We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, everyone. My name is Liana, for those of you I haven't met. It's so lovely to have all the families of the babies here this morning. I know how my mom feels about my children. My two kids are the first ones on my side of the family, so it can be quite overwhelming sometimes. I've never had to buy a toy in my life. Never really bought clothes for my kids either. The other day I bought a little dress for Malaya. And it's actually so excessive because she has so many clothes. I just felt like I saw something really nice, and for once I just want to pick something that I like specifically. But what a blessing, and I know all the grandparents here and the aunts and just the family, I know how much you also love the children. And it's a blessing for us to have you here today with us. So I lead the church together with Reino, and actually I prepared the sermon in May. We did a trip to Israel, and the Lord really spoke to me, and I wrote everything down, and I've never felt that it's quite the right time to share it. And 2 weeks ago, I said, Rain, I feel it's the time. And then I realized afterwards that it coincided with a baby dedication. I actually didn't know. So it's amazing how the Lord brings things together. And I'm really excited. I've been praying this week for the service, and I know that the Holy Spirit specifically is excited this morning about everyone here. So you might think you're just here visiting, but the Holy Spirit is excited about each person here this morning. And in church we do, we have a really good encounter series. So we go through personal healing, we speak about the Holy Spirit, all kinds of things, deliverance. But then what we also do, and what I've done a lot the last maybe year or 2 years, is what we call PH. PH is personal healing. So I see people one-on-one or two-on-one. And we really trust the Holy Spirit for whatever he wants to do in that person's life. And I've been so incredibly encouraged over the last year or 2 years to see what the Holy Spirit can do and to see what the Lord wants to do. The one thing I've seen that's really hit home to me is how often, and when we sit, it's going to be difficult for me to explain exactly how such a session is if you haven't had one, because I think it's not how you think. But all of you are welcome, for one. We would love to have you if you want to come experience it for yourself. But what I've really been encouraged with is to see, on the one hand, you know, to realize how many things through our lives affect us. How many times. So what we do in a session is I ask the Lord what he wants to do, and he comes to show. So it's not counseling. I don't listen to someone's problems and then I think of answers or anything like that. We have a method where we just ask the Lord and he shows. And it's amazing to see how often something that happened in someone's life, like a teacher said to them at school the 1 year, you were always such a bubbly child, what's happened to you? Just, you know, probably having a bad day, just made an offhand comment. And the person, this was like when the person was grade one or two. And the Lord showed us that, and the person could tell how their life has changed at that moment, how they stopped accepting themselves, how they started to believe they are a grumpy person, and just how that's affected their whole life, their whole thinking about themselves, you know, since they were seven. I mean, how many years is that? And how the Lord could come and just say, you know, just the person didn't think of that themselves, the Lord brought it up. And the Lord can say, you know, that was not the truth, actually. And then the Lord comes and he says, what is the truth? He says, actually, I made you to be a very joyful person. And to see when God comes to speak the truth over someone, even their faces change. Everyone we see, and it's not just me who see people, there's quite a few of us at church who's trained to see people. Everyone we see, and I see this most when it's not me, when someone else is seeing someone, because then I have more perspective. But I can see as people go through sessions, if they come in, they come out, how their faces change. I can literally see how people light up. And even sometimes their body posture changes from how the Lord removes burdens. So on the one hand, this has been very encouraging to me. On the other hand, as a mom, this has been quite hard for me because I realize how big is the responsibility of how we raise our kids and what we tell them and what we don't tell them. And what started happening is that I started to understand more and more how we should really raise our children. So I'm beginning to understand really well what not to do, what to do. So logically, because I know what to do and what not to do, I should be doing that. So logically, I should raise my kids perfectly because I see all the mistakes and then I must just not do them. I don't know if you're believing me, but that's not happening. All that's happening is I'm making just as many mistakes as any other mom or dad. I'm just 100 times more aware of every mistake I make. And it got to a point because my logic says to me, I'm in this privileged position where I see the effects of things that happen in children's lives. I see it when I see the adults. So being in this privileged position, I can know what to do right, and I can just do it right. And then my kids do not have those problems. The problem is I can't seem to do it right. I just seem to fail every day. And it got to a point where subconsciously I became so burdened with the fact that I'm not doing a good job raising my children and I'm not being a good parent. That I was actually getting into almost a depression. It probably was a depression. My daughter's almost 3, she turns 3 in January. My son is 1.5. So it was kind of towards the beginning of the year, just before my son was 1. I was really almost going into depression. And one of the things I was carrying was this weight of I'm not doing a good job as a parent. So I believe for all of us, I believe anyone here that has kids, those of you still going to have kids, we all take it very seriously. And we all feel that it's something we should really do well. For most of us, it's more important that we succeed in our children than it is that we succeed in our career. There's nothing that's more important to us, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, than that our children be successful. So I went on a course early in this year to do the sessions that we do, personal healing and deliverance for kids. And it really changed my life. On the one hand, I love the idea that we could do it for kids. On the other hand, the lady said something that really shook me. And she didn't say it in these words, but this is how the Holy Spirit spoke to me. She said, you know, as Christians, especially when we do this kind of training and we tend to know everything, we can really get into this burden of trying to be the perfect parent. And, you know, as I speak to other parents in all spheres of life, the kind of things we always say is, you know, the one person will say, I feel so bad about letting my kids go to creche. And other person will say, no, you have to look out for yourself as well. You know, you are also important. And I'm sure your kids are fine. You know, they cry and then it's 5 minutes and they don't cry. Or someone would say, you know, me and my husband, we fight in front of the kids all the time. And someone else would say, you know, everyone does that. It's really okay. So what we're doing is we're all struggling with the fact that we're not perfect parents. And we all try and help each other to relieve that load. But we're still staying on the same principle, which is you should be a perfect parent, actually. But you're not. So don't worry, no one is. So it's all fine. So we feel better in the moment, but deep down we still think, I'm still not a perfect parent. So I'm glad you're not also, but, you know, I still wish I was. And what this lady said, and this is how our sessions work when we see people for healing. This is specifically why we don't do counseling. And counseling is great and it's necessary and I think it's very important as well. I'm not a good counselor. There are people who are good counselors. and we do send people for counseling as well. I just think everything's got their place. And what we specifically do when we do personal healing is we trust for that person to connect to Jesus and that Jesus would address what he wants to address. Whereas in counseling, it's more the counselor that speaks into the life of the person. So when we did this session for kids, what you do is you trust that the child will connect to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit. And for me personally, what I just had such a revelation, actually after the training I got in the car, and it's like the Lord just opened it to me, that I will never be the perfect parent in the sense that I will do everything right for my kids. That will never happen. I've tried enough, and I've tried really hard. It's not possible. But what I can do is I can connect my kids to Jesus. The thing is, no one is going to get to life without getting hurt, without getting damaged, without getting knocked. It's just not possible. As much as we wish that we could protect our children fully, we cannot. Even if we were to do a perfect job, the world will still get at them. We cannot have them under our supervision 24/7 until they are 18. But what I can do is I can connect my children to Jesus. And what we do in our sessions is we trust that to connect someone to Jesus, and it's, I wish I could do a session for each of you so you could understand what I mean. It's not dependent on the person at all. It's fully dependent on Jesus. It can be anyone who does that session. I've done that session with people, not even Christians. And the Lord is so faithful. He really wants to connect to each person. And when that person connects to Jesus, Jesus comes and he heals the wounds. He corrects whatever's gone wrong because he is actually the perfect father. He's actually the perfect parent. And us as earthly parents, we're only supposed to point to him. So what I clicked in the car is that if I connect my kids to Jesus, and kids can connect to Jesus at any age, and I'm going to show you some videos about that now. I don't know if you've seen what's happening in the world, but that's what I'm going to share about, is how the Lord is using kids from a very young age. I mean, from like 2 years old. But even from very young, even in the womb, we know that Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist, and when she came near Mary, he sensed the presence of Jesus, and he moved in the womb. Children can connect from the Holy Spirit even from the womb. And when children are connected to Jesus, every time they get a knock, there's a failure on our part as a parent, the world gets to them. Anything that happens, if they're connected to Jesus, he heals it immediately. He deals with them, and then it's continuous. So when I see people who've had stuff all their life that I didn't know about, which, might I say, is all of us, I've had these sessions for myself, also in this year, in April, myself and Raider went to another ministry that Shofar connects to in Pretoria, and we had it for ourselves, because no one is exempt. No one goes through life without these things, and it's amazing. Every time I see someone, I'll say, you know, is there something specific that you're coming for? And they'll share. And sometimes I don't even listen, because I know when we start, I'm going to ask the Lord, and he's going to show what he wants to do. And it's mostly not what the person said, because mostly there are things we struggle with, but we normally don't really know where it comes from. But God knows. And he's able to pick it out just like that. I think it sometimes for psychologists, it might take, you know, 6 years to get to the bottom of it. But the Lord knows each person inside out. So he just picks it. There it is. There's a lot of people in the room who's had sessions with us, and I see them nodding. So as I see an adult, the Lord needs to show us maybe 15, 20 things that's happened in their life and heal it. But I'm trusting for my kids that they will be healed every time, as they grow. So they'll never actually have to walk with that baggage. And I believe the Lord wants to release us as parents from that guilt. And I want you to close your eyes. As I was praying for this service today, I'm not really going to share a long word, because what the Lord really put on my heart was specific things that he wants to do in lives today. So I want to pray firstly for natural parents, people who have natural children, or people who are discipling spiritual children who've had this sense of guilt that they're failing them. So if that's you, I want you to open your eyes and look at me, just so that I will know it's you. Okay. 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 Just wave at me if I missed someone. If I've nodded at everyone, okay. 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 Cool. Let's all close our eyes. So if those of you who looked at me or raised your hands just agree with me, we thank you, Jesus, this morning that you want to set us free from that guilt. And some of you have not indicated, but now you notice, then you just agree with me as well. Thank you, Father. I pray that you would just bring up and take out that guilt this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you never expected any of us to be perfect parents, not to our natural kids, not to our spiritual kids, because you only are the perfect Father. I thank you this morning that you release people from that guilt. Thank you, Father. I've seen so many people, God, an accusing voice that's forever telling them, you're not doing this right, you're not doing that right, you're failing them, you're failing them. But I thank you this morning that we can repent, Father, of the times when we have failed, because we're all not perfect, we're all imperfect, and just respond in your heart. So, Lord, I repent of the times that I've failed. So we repent of that, Lord. But this morning we want to say, God, we trust in you. We're not going to trust in our own ability to do what you've said before us, to raise our kids, to raise disciples. But we want to trust in you this morning. I ask, Jesus, that you take the burden off from every shoulder in Jesus' name, that you lift it up and remove that weight, Lord. But I pray right now for that capacity to do it your way, Lord, that ability to trust you with our kids, with our disciples, Lord, and to help them to connect to you. Because you are the one who brings healing. You're the one who brings life. You are perfect. We choose this morning to put our eyes on you who are perfect, Lord. Help us in that way, Father. We trust you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. I also felt this morning that the Lord was just showing me that some of us have something that we need to actually talk to about our child. Something maybe you want to say sorry about, or something you want to say, listen, I'm sorry if I failed you in this way, or I'm sorry about this. There's really a release. I find in my sessions as well, so often, it just takes saying something out loud to remove the burden. So I believe the Lord removes our burdens this morning, but for some of us, there's a little extra step that we need to take. And I'm going to give opportunity, but later for us to pray together, and I will let the parents pray with the parents who are here of specific of their children. And then that's a good opportunity if there was something that you felt that you actually needed to say. Okay, so getting back to the word, I want to bless you guys this morning by saying I only have 4 slides. I'm not going to be long. I really want to rather allow the Holy Spirit to do in our hearts what he wants to do this morning. And so my story. Okay, let me just maybe for the members. I preached about 3 weeks ago, and I just wanted to correct something. I was also speaking about personal healing, and I was saying that, you know, the Lord wants to heal us, because as we come to a place of emotional healing, we're able to reach out to others, because we're not sitting with our own things. And afterwards, I think I've created the perception that we need to be healed before we love others. And if I created that perception, I just want to apologize, and I just want to correct that. It's only when we love others, when we reach out, that we actually even realize we're not healed. So the two definitely go hand in hand. So I'm just correcting if I created the wrong impression, that the first thing we do is we love others, we reach out. Because as we do that, we will also realize our own needs, and then we will allow the Lord to heal us. But it's a hand-in-hand process. It's not a one before the other. And I want to remind just the members in church of our 2-minute rule. If you're not a member, then don't worry about it. So as a church, the season we're going for this year, the word that the Lord has given us as a whole Shofar movement, all the 50-plus Shofar churches, is God's building. So let me read to you just that scripture again. Psalm 147, verse 2, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So we really grappling with the scripture, we're trusting the Lord to show us what he means. And what the Lord's really put on my heart for this morning is to know, and we spoke, the Bible speaks about living stones, that Jesus is building a house for himself as living stones. And what I want to just share this morning is for us to remember that the kids are also living stones. And Raina said it this morning, there are no less members than we are. When we've accepted them this morning, they are members in our church. And I hope you guys have realized when Raina prayed, and I'm looking to this side, most of the members are this side. you know, Marianne's waving. So Marianne, for you to have been here this morning means that every child that was accepted this morning is also your responsibility. Every one of us this morning who members here, we're also raising these children. should ask the Holy Spirit to prompt us when we need to pray for them. At the end of last year and the beginning of this year, we had quite a lot of prayer meetings. And it happened probably about 5 times that someone else would have a prophetic word that we need to call all the children up and pray for them. And it was so beautiful for me to see that it really is on the Lord's heart that we pray for the children and trust the Lord for them. So we bought, our Black Friday expedition was Legos. So Raina bought Legos for the kids. We finally bought the real deal. We've always bought the cheap blocks. But on Black Friday, we could afford real Legos. So we were trying to help them with it yesterday. And it's amazing. It's quite upgraded from when I was a child. I could even build Milan. I forgot to bring it, but a little butterfly. But some of the Lego blocks are minute. They're like these little triangles. I even struggle to find them in the box. Or some of them are even like these tiny, tiny eyes. And you pop them onto the thing, and it looks like a little butterfly. But as I was trying to build this butterfly for Malaya from the book, I realized that you actually need every little thing. When you just look at the blocks, there's these like tiny, tiny triangles. I mean, it's smaller than my pinky nail. It's tiny. And you feel like, I'm like, that's going to get lost within a week. You know, how are we going to manage to keep this set together? You know, even Aiden's popping it in his mouth. We're all screaming, spit it out, spit it out. I have to check his nappies to see if there are any blocks there. But as I was building this butterfly, I needed quite a few of those because the butterfly wings has got all these little edges. And I realized that for the set to build this butterfly, you actually need even the tiny, tiny blocks. And it's like the Lord was just speaking to me. Even as we gave them the Legos, myself and Rena Loft, we said, God's building. That's what the Lord is doing, is building. Our kids are also building, prophetically. And I realized just, it's like God was showing me as I was building this butterfly, even the tiniest little part is needed. So we went to Israel in May. Excuse me. We were really blessed to be able to do a trip. The Lord gave us, my mom had a prophetic word that we should go. We couldn't afford it at all. It was a very expensive trip. At the end of the day, we were fully sponsored. It was really a blessed time for us, but we couldn't take the kids, and it was 11 days, and my kids are quite young, and I really wouldn't want to leave them. But the Lord gave me a word that we should actually leave them. He said to me, unless the Lord builds a house, those who build labor in vain. And Lord was really trying. Sorry. The Lord is really telling me that if I'm going to always try and control what's best for my kids, then I don't give him an opportunity to build my house. So it was amazing. Eventually we went. We left the kids with my mom. It was actually over Evan Aiden's first birthday. Hectic, but we felt we should. And we did have a party before we took photos, so maybe he'll never know. But now we will tell him the truth. The amazing thing is, as we got there and the whole time that we were there, what the Lord spoke to me, it was a conference. It was the Pentecostal conference, celebration of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, churches all over the world. There was really, I can't remember the figures now, but there was like, I don't know, hundreds of countries represented, really lots of people there. It was like an upper room celebration, all about the Holy Spirit. And everything the Lord spoke to me that whole week was about kids. And I realized it's especially because of the kids that the Lord wanted me to go. Because of the kids, I wanted to stay. But because of the kids, the Lord wanted me to go. And I met a lady there, Becky Fisher. She's got a ministry, Supernatural Kids Ministry. And as a church, we bought the DVDs. I think there's how many in here? Like 50 or something. 35. Of teaching. She runs supernatural schools for kids. So she teaches kids to pray in the spirit, to heal the sick, to prophesy. And really, it really works. And they're really seeing amazing things. And one of the things she shared was that, you know, a typical kid Sunday school, kids' church, all over the world is mostly the same. She said if you look at all of them, it's almost kind of 27 lessons that they all repeat. Which ones are those? What are you in Sunday school? Noah, Job, Daniel, the lions, okay, so, you know, the fish and the bread. And she says typically kids' church goes that they take more or less those 27 lessons or a selection of those repeated every year. And what they do is they tell the story, and then after that story, they tell the kids what's the moral of the story. So she said what's happened over years is that, number one, kids start believing that's all that's in the Bible, or those 27 stories. So they think they know the whole Bible, so they're never inclined to read the Bible for themselves. They feel no need. The second thing is that kids think that's all Christianity is about. It's about a story with a moral. But you know that they teach stories with morals in all religions, not just in Christianity, and even just in the world. What she said is, why do we underestimate that kids can connect to Jesus? What kids want is they want an experience of God. Especially today, kids are having supernatural experiences in school. They witness supernatural things happening, mostly, obviously, not God, more demonic. All these games they play, all kinds of movies they're exposed to, and it's very real to them. And the problem is when they don't see that God is real, then we can't blame them that when they get to decide for themselves, that they have no inclination to turn towards God. She says what was interesting for me also, and so we started this in our kids' church. You guys saw Kobe and Miranda in front. They're running our kids' church. They're working through these DVDs. We're training our facilitators. We've had a lesson earlier in the year where we taught the kids to pray. We prayed for the kids to be filled with the Spirit. Some of the kids started praying in tongues. Our kids are all like 5, you know, younger. But the Lord wants to meet them, and He wants to connect to them. So I'm very excited that we're doing this in our kids' church. And for all of us in church, it's to not to overlook the kids. That's even what Jesus said. They brought the kids to Him, and He said, you know, the disciples said, take them away. And let's look at that scripture. People were bringing little children to Jesus for Him to place His hands on them. That word children, the original word in the Greek is infant. So it's normally a year or younger. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, He was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to Me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. So it says, let the old translation says, suffer the children to come to Me. So that original word, I've got the word here somewhere. Read it to you later. Afiimi. It's an intense form of allowing. It implies actually removing blockages. So it says, so Jesus is saying, remove any blockages in order that the kids can come to Me. And He's not really saying in order that the kids can know the story of Noah or Job. I've no problem with that. Our kids do Bible stories, they should know the word. But what Becky Fisher prescribes, she says what she found works is you teach kids doctrine. You teach them about the blood of Christ. You teach them about forgiveness. You teach them a doctrine that you would teach an adult. And then you can give the story to illustrate the doctrine. Because you mustn't underestimate that kids are able to understand it. And I've seen this in my own kids. My kids go to our kids' church. And I've seen just how things have been changing in their lives. I used to be one of these moms that's really strict on routine. Still am, but I'm much less now. But, you know, when you have kids, you read all these books. And I actually realized, you know, I read Baby Sense. And I realized at one point when I was making decisions about my kids, there was a voice in my head telling me what to do. Like, no, 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 they should go to bed at that time. No, 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 they should drink the milk then. And at one point I stopped and I was like, what is this voice? Like, oh, it's Baby Sense. I have a Baby Sense voice in my head telling me what to do. That doesn't seem right to me. I should have the Lord in my head telling me what to do. And you know, I caught myself at one point so being into the books that I forget to hear what is the Lord saying. And actually, I should know better, because so often with Malaya, we lost our house just before Malaya was born, and we couldn't find a place to stay, and we stayed with Raina's parents, and all my stuff was in storage, actually, in Omri's garage. She was gracious to keep our whole household belongings in her garage. And I couldn't access any of my kids' books, so that was my first child, so I didn't know anything, so I couldn't read anything. So we found a place, we moved in the Monday, I went into labor the Wednesday. So with Malaya, I didn't read anything. And the Lord showed me, every time I asked Him, even simple things, you know, when should she sleep? How should I breastfeed? Even that, the Lord would show me, the Holy Spirit would guide me. So I should have known better, but then I fell into the books. But got out of that again. Now I lost myself in the story. So Jesus is saying, so our kids' church and the changes in Malaya. So the Lord was really challenging me. At some point, He said to me, just, you know, let go of control. You're really controlling your kids. You know, controlling their sleeping time, controlling their eating time. It's like all your life is about. And we had these prophetic evenings at church. We would all pray, and the Lord said to me, just bring your kids. So my kids used to go to bed at 6:30. The evening starts at 7:00. So I'm like, that's not going to work. But the Lord said, so I brought them. And actually the first time I brought them, people would be praying. My kids would be screaming and playing around. And I would be running after them. That's practically what happened. But I could see that they are observing. And we went home. And the next morning in the car on the way to play school, Melas literally said to me, so she's never said to me before that she's dreamed. I didn't think she knew what dreaming is. I've asked her before, did you dream? But she could never understand what I meant by dream. And the next morning in the car, she said to me, I dreamed about Jesus. She said he came into my room and he spoke to me, and then he went to Buti's room, to Evan Aiden's room. So she literally had an encounter with Jesus because I brought her into an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit was. And really, when we were here, it didn't, I mean, they were not participating, or they were running around screaming and playing. But they were in the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. So I've really seen it in our kids' lives, and this is what we're doing in our kids' just now, and I'm so excited about it. And what she says in her training, what's awesome, she says, often the facilitators say, listen, but the things we're supposed to teach the kids, we don't know how to do it. We're supposed to teach the kids to pray for healing, we don't even know how to pray for healing. We're supposed to teach the kids to see visions, we don't even know how to see visions. And she speaks about training the facilitators first. So we do have a lot of openings for kids' church facilitators. But I'm not joking. For those of you who are in the church here, really pray about it. I believe it's something the Lord is putting a focus on for us in this season. And also in our day-to-day lives, to not miss the kids around us. If you have an opportunity to pray for a kid, it doesn't matter who they are. I was on an outreach with my parents in Yemen in 2006. And we couldn't speak the language, of course. We were with friends of my parents who were missionaries there. We did a food outreach the one day. We were handing out packets, and there was one girl, and I really felt to pray for her, and I prayed quite a lot for her. Just, you know, she thought I was playing. I just looked at her and prayed, you know, in English. She couldn't understand English. So I just did that, and then about 2 weeks later, I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw this girl, and she was probably about 5, and in the dream, she was about 12. And I saw her on a train in Yemen, and I saw her evangelizing. So telling people about Jesus. And I know for a fact that it's God that showed me that that's what's going to happen in her life. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that's spoken into her life, but I could also pray for her. And I was praying, you know, for healing and emotional healing and breaking things off. And never underestimate what the Lord can do through a prayer and in the life of a child. And I want to encourage us also to invite children to church. I have no problem if kids want to come to church, kids' church, and their parents don't want to come to church. I really don't mind. We love the kids, and we want to really reach out to the kids in this area and anyone who's willing to come. We know that if you look, this is a really good book for anyone interested in these things. Transforming Children into Spiritual Champions, George Barna. If you know the Barna Group, they're world famous. They do research. So they do statistical research every year on many different topics, all related to church or spirituality. But they're really well known and acclaimed. They really do very good, proper research. And one of the things they did research about how people come to know Christ. And they weren't looking to do any research about children. But what came out of their research was that every adult, that 90% of adults who follow Christ encountered him before they were 13 years old. So they said that the biggest indicator of a person's adult spiritual life is their spiritual childhood. And not to say that the Lord doesn't do miracles. For sure he does, and we trust for that. And we will never exclude anyone. No one is ever excluded from God's love. But going forward, it's important for us to realize how important it is for kids to connect to Jesus. And just on a personal level, you know, for me with my kids, that's the best I can do for my kids. There was also research that Chip Ingram did. Maybe some of you might know him. He really also speaks a lot about children, really good information on child upbringing. And one of the things he said was, they asked, this was done in America, they asked American parents that did a study, what is the most important thing for your kids? What do you want them to be when they grow up? So what, not as in what job, just, you know, what should their life be like? What do you think people say? Give me a word or two. Successful and happy. Those were the two words that came out of the study. I want my kids to be happy and successful. So then they looked at a study about a parent who wants their kids to be happy and successful. What do the kids mostly end up as? Can anyone guess? Depressed. They do end up successful. sometimes, but they end up entitled. So parents who want their kids to be happy and successful, not all of them, and this is not a Christian study, this is just a general study. So most parents who want their kids to be happy and successful tend to protect their kids from any hurt. They want their kids to be happy. So they're teaching their kids that the world is safe and that, you know, that there's no consequences for their actions. They tend not to punish too much because they want the kids to be happy. So the kids grow up without a good, healthy understanding of consequence, which in fact later in life can make someone very unsuccessful. And the other thing they found was that they raised their kids to believe that they can have anything and be anything they want, which means once they're out of the house, they have a completely elevated idea of themselves. And as a Christian, obviously what we believe is that Jesus says, he is greatest as he who serves. But this worldview says that, you know, you earn everything because you deserve everything because you are so amazing. So what often we find with those children is disillusionment and disappointment because, in fact, you know, you're actually not that much more amazing than your 100 or 1,000 peers. If you don't understand your identity in Christ. So people, they found this study that parents who mean well often end up directing their kids in the wrong way. So for me as a parent, of course I want my kids to be happy and successful, but more than that, I want my kids to know Jesus. And like for instance, something interesting that they spoke about was that God has his way. He has his specific road with each one of us, and none of us are exempt of suffering in life. God doesn't promise us to not have suffering. But in fact, the Bible speaks about the fact that suffering is actually meaningful. And if this is hard for you to understand, then don't worry about what I'm saying. But that, you know, God is the only one who can give us the perspective to help our kids when they're going through something that we could not prevent. You know, we should not be the ones to let our kids suffer, not condoning anything like that. We should be loving and protecting our kids. But when they go through something that we had no control over, we really need God to help us, to help them make sense of what they're going through and to apply it in a biblical way to their life. Okay, but let me show you a video. If you look on YouTube, there's millions of videos. Just Google children and the Holy Spirit. You'll find lots of things. But just, this is happening all over the world, that more and more kids are connecting to Jesus. And just this one example of it. Can you guys put up the next scripture for me? Acts 2, I'll read it so long. It says, in the last days, it shall be God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. And it says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The word for son there is the same word used for a foal. So that means two or younger. So your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. This is literally what the Lord says in his word. So in terms of that, for those of us in church or anyone, please trust the Lord to invite kids here as well. Please trust the Lord to pray for the kids in our church. You know, get to know the kids. Bless them. None of us will complain if you pray for our kids or bless them. If the Lord stirs you to babysit, come and tell me. I always need babysitters, but I also know who else needs. if the Lord lays in your heart to facilitate kids' church, that's really an amazing training place and amazing giving place. I'm really trusting the Lord to stir the people whom he has called for that. And then the last thing is I just want to pray for us. So let's all stand. Let's all close our eyes. I just want to put that invitation out there. I really wasn't joking, especially for our visitors today. I'm going to pray for all of us now, but you really are invited to come and have a personal healing session with us. We don't charge for it. You can just contact the office. I know some of you live far away, but it's probably going to be worth it to drive through. And the reason why I'm saying that is just because as I've prayed this week, I had such a sense that just this morning, every person the Lord is bringing is so specific. And that there's so many people that he really wants to just break something for or, you know, just heal something, maybe something you don't even know about. You're welcome to see us if you don't even know what it's for. So I really would just want to put that invitation out there. Obviously, that's for everyone, yeah? But then there's some specific things that the Lord showed me as I was praying, and I would just like to pray for people for that. So if all the eyes are closed, if I describe something that applies to you, you can just look at me, or if I don't notice your eyes, then just wave at me. So I can pray for you. So the Lord showed me there's someone who gets blank spots. Like you'll be having a conversation, and then suddenly you'll completely forget what you were saying. Or it's like you'll be thinking about something and your mind just goes blank. And I believe the Lord wants to heal you this morning of that. Can you show me where you are? Okay, so for those three people, just agree with me in your heart. Father, we take authority over that this morning. Lord, we thank you that you say that we have the mind of Christ. I declare right now over these three people, the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, we can take authority over everything that wants to interrupt their thinking, and that we command it to be silent now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, I pray if there's any healing process that you need to do, I ask Holy Spirit that you bring that up for them, Lord. Show them what it is that you want to hear, Lord. Show them if there are any lies that they believe that you need to come and correct. But I thank you that you just release that mind of Christ now in Jesus' name. I really want those three people, if you don't feel like it improves over the next week or two, please phone us and come and see me, and I'm really going to pray with you until that thing breaks through. We've had that quite a few times in church, people who struggle with that, who have been healed. So we know that it can be healed. Then the Lord also showed me these people who are numb emotionally, and how you know that is when something really hectic happens, you actually don't feel anything. So, I don't know what example to use, but something really, you know, like someone you know is in a car accident, or something happens, and it's like you know what you're supposed to feel, but you actually feel nothing. There's like an emotional numbness, and the Lord wants to heal that this morning. Would you show me where you are? Okay, so for those four people, and if there's anyone I didn't see, just trust with me now. Lord, just agree with me in your heart. I pray over them, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal to them where this started, what was the event in their life where this started, Lord. Where is it that they closed off their emotions? We ask, Holy Spirit, that you put your finger on that right now, in Jesus' name. Just bring up that memory. And I pray, Lord, that you show them where you were in that moment, Father. Jesus, come show them where you were. Father, I pray that you show them your love right now, and that you come speak over them that place of safety, where they can allow their emotions to be shown, Father, where they can allow themselves to feel it. I trust for them, Lord, to come into that place of safety, and I trust God. We trust for that healing today in Jesus' name. The other thing I felt was someone who feels trapped. You feel in a corner, or you feel suffocated. So sometimes when in a relational situation, when someone speaks to you, your spouse or friend, family member, you feel very trapped by their words. You feel like they're just backing you into a corner and you actually don't know what to do. It's almost suffocating. Can you just show me where you are? Okay, so for those two people, just agree with me, or anyone I didn't see. Father, I pray just for that capacity, Lord, to move into a place of peace in that situation. I pray for those two people and whoever else, Lord. God, we release just those things that's trapping them in Jesus' name. We break it off now. Just the thoughts that come also, Lord, that I sense for them. It's like the person is saying something, but they're actually hearing something else. There's such interference in the message. And I pray, Father, that you heal their ears now in Jesus' name, that they would hear what you are saying, Lord. But not every other voice. We just silence every other voice. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you show them what is the route, what is the journey, Father, to be released into that place of peace. And I trust even for that now, just for them to come into that place of peace completely. In Jesus' name. Okay, so I also felt for some people just feeling guilty about something, always having a guilt about something. And I felt that there's some people here that guilt has actually caused sickness. So you have some kind of pain or sickness that you're struggling with, and it's actually related to something that you always feel guilty about. Can you show me where you are? Okay, so for those four people, just agree with me. And also, if you know someone who's not here this morning who's got that, then you can also pray for them now. Anyone else as well. So Father, we trust for those people. We want to come and just resist that sickness now in Jesus' name. I ask, Father, and those of you responded, if there's something you need to repent, then just repent in your heart. Lord, we repent of things that we have done wrong. And we thank you that you release us from that this morning. We thank you that you don't desire to condemn us. You don't desire that we live in guilt. And I pray, Father, that you would lift that burden of guilt now this morning in Jesus' name. Lift it from shoulders in Jesus' name and release it completely, Father. We thank you, Lord, that every lie that wants to say to them, but you have repented, but it's not good enough. You're still guilty. We want to silence that lies this morning in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would put your finger on them for healing this morning in Jesus' name. I just want all of us to close our eyes, and I believe the Lord just wants to speak to each one of us. So I want you to see a picture of yourself. Just imagine yourself, and then imagine that there's something in your hands. And open your hands. It's something that God wants you to let go. So see yourself, see your hands, and see what's in there. And then see Jesus coming to you. And then I want you this morning to just give whatever it is, just give it into Jesus' hands. Just imagine that picture of you giving it to Jesus. And if you're struggling, then Lord, I ask that you help those who are struggling, help them to actually let it go into your hands. Help them to actually let their fingers go and let that thing go. And we thank you for that this morning. And I trust, Lord, that you would complete every healing that you've started this morning, Father, and in every journey. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've really wanted to come this morning to meet with hearts. And we trust that you complete that process in Jesus' name. So you can open your eyes, and we're going to finish off the service here. But for the end of the service, I want us just to pray together two by two. So anyone who's here who has their actual child in the building as well, I want you to pray with your children. So parents and children, pray together. And those who don't have their parents or their children here, you can just pray with anyone. And then if you feel to share something that you've responded to now, if you want that person to pray for you for that, please take a liberty to ask them. And any of those things we prayed for this morning, if it's not getting better in a week or two, please phone us so that we can pray with you some more. I believe the Lord wants to heal those things, so we want to trust with you till it's a done deal. But bless you guys. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here this morning. Please meet up and pray together. And then when you're done, please join us for coffee and tea and snacks at the back. And God bless you, and we hope to see those of you visiting. We hope to see you again and see the rest of you next week. If there's anyone who needs specific prayer, you're welcome to the front, and I'll be here to pray for you.